Thank you very much for joining us on another episode of From the Horse's Mouth. My name is Patrick Kennedy, and I've got a wonderful trio of Frank Hickey, Ruby Walsh, and Matt Chapman to bring us through another good Saturday of racing at Ascot and Haydock. Yes, Ruby, I did not say Super Saturday, and I think it's not a Super Saturday. This is always a weekend that's kind of like getting ready for Christmas, though, isn't it? There's never, you're not like, you've got one great one.
I seriously think we should caption that piece and just replay it. The PK has finally decided that there are or can be a difference between some Saturdays and others.
Yeah. I've got no plans for Saturday. So I actually say Super Saturday because usually it's like I'm heading out or doing something, but I don't even have any plans for it. So it's a middling enough Saturday, but there's some good winners to be had. And to be fair, last Saturday was a middling enough Saturday and you gave us two winning naps, lads. So I'm really interested to see how you go. Before we get the selections, a bit of housekeeping for you. We did offer a competition, two tickets to Cheltenham New Year's Day. We asked you to retweet and quote the From the Horse's Mouth and say something nice. And I'm delighted to say congratulations to Harry Tulk, and I hope I pronounced your name correctly, Harry Tulk. You've won tickets to Cheltenham. We're going to get in contact with you, so don't worry, you don't have to do anything. Well done. Bad luck to everyone who entered, but there will be more giveaways next year, in the coming weeks, in fact. And before we start, next week, we've got the punters panel with Ruby Walsh, Frank Hickey, I hope Paddy Power, myself. You, the loyal listener, have the opportunity to get on this very podcast and put the questions to that terrible trio. So do get in touch, fthm@paddypower.com, and you're on the list, and we'll be in touch if you want to get on the podcast next week. That's on Monday, so you need to be available on Monday to record. Okay, housekeeping done. Let's get some winners, lads. Let's go to Ascot. We've got the Grade 1 Long Walk Hurdle Day. We kick off with the 150, which is a handicap chase. It's the Howden Handicap Chase. At the time recording, Palmer's Hill and the JP Silks is a 3-1 favourite. Financier 9-2, as is Knight in Dubai. That's been well backed. The brilliantly named horse Guy is a 5-1 shot for Nigel and Sam Twiston Davis. Diego de Charmel 6-1, as is Sully Dock and Tens Bar. Matt Chapman, give us the winner of the 150.
I'll go each way. Diego de Charmel, Paul Nichols and Harry Cobden. Very well handicapped horse, has run off at Ascot in particular, better marks than this. Didn't run well at the track last time, so you have to forgive that. But in general terms, he's a little bit better than a 147 horse. As I say, he's finished second in an Ascot handicap of 156. So it's basically a case of him coming back to form. If he does, he's got a great each way chance. If he doesn't, he'll run pants.
Matt Chapman's on his way to the dentist. I've never seen a man more well-dressed to go to the dentist. Do you like this dentist, well, Matt?
I don't know anyone who likes any dentist, to be quite frank. But anyway.
He's generally wearing a suit and shirt off the dentist. Okay, right. Frank, kick your thoughts.
I'm going to the dentist, Patrick, and then I'm going to work. Meanwhile, I'm doing the podcast. You know, it's a busy day.
Okay, right, we'll move on. I'm sorry. I get what you're trying to get there. Frank Kiki, give us another 150.
I thought Guy was very solid each way. Look, he's only won one of his 10 starts under rules, but he's been placed in 6 of the 9 races that he didn't win. And he was second in his last 2 starts of the season. First at Market Race and went second, 2 lengths second to Senior Citizen in the Class 2 handicap. Senior Citizen didn't do any harm to the form when he was a length second to McTotty in the Grand Sefton off a 5-pound horror marker at his next start. Last time out, Guy was second at Ascot. He travelled reasonably well into the race, but he made an awful mistake, 2 out, hit an awful belt, and he wasn't fluent at the last fence either and was beaten 3 lengths by Pink Legend. I think with a better jump 2 out, he may well have won. He's gone up a few pounds for that, but the way he travels through a race, I thought the slight drop back and trip from 2 mile 5 to 2 miles 3 would suit. And I thought he was a fair each way bet.
Okay, 2 each way shouts. Ruby Walsh, what's your shout?
I was with the favourite Palmer's Hill PK. Thought it won snug enough at Weatherby when it beat top of the Cotswolds. I know a horse whose name I can't really pronounce, Chiara something Munro anyway. Mickey Hammonds fell at the second last when in front, but I still think Palmer's Hill had, or was going to get the better of him. He's only up, not up that much actually. That was off 130 races. He's up 134. I thought £4 was quite lenient for his win at Weatherby, and was ninth in the Coral Cup last year behind Heaven Help Us. I think he's not a bad horse.
Okay, 3 votes in the 150 at Ascot. The big race at Ascot is the Long Walk Hurdle. It's due off at 2:25. And the favourite for it is Buzz at 7-4 at the time of recording. Time Hill 5-2. Champ back over hurdles 9-2. 5-1 for Ronald Pump over from Ireland for Matt Smith. Paisley Park is 8-1. Thomas Darby also 8-1, 12-1 on the blind side. Good renewal this. Matt Chapman, you've been a fan of Buzz. Are you jumping ship?
No, look, Buzz has done me and my Paddy Power blog great turns. We've been with him all the way, Cesarovic, plus on the jumps as well. Until he gets beat, I'm now going to stick with him effectively. And this is the acid test. He's around third favourite at the moment for the Stairs Hurdle. And I see no reason to desert him in this. It's a good renewal. There are plenty of exciting horses in there. But of the young up-and-coming staying stars, he's easily the most significant in the race. He'll travel better than any other horse in the race. At the moment, he jumps better than most of the other horses in the race. If there is a little doubt, it is the 3 miles. He hasn't done that over hurdles yet, but everything about him suggests that he will stay. And so I don't see any reason to desert him. And the final sort of icing on the cake is the ground. There's going to be no rain between the time we speak and this race on Saturday. The ground is currently good. And Buzz is going to absolutely love that. Funnily enough, actually, he's an ex-flat horse that would go with some more juice, but he's going to have no problem with the ground. I see no reason to desert him. And I think there are loads of question marks about the big rivals, albeit that they're all good horses.
Yeah, fair enough. Ruby, Buzz?
Yeah, Buzz, look, he's a worthy favourite. There's no doubt about that. Stamina is the unproven one with him. I've been a massive Time Hill fan all his career, but I was disappointed with him in Otoy on his comeback run in November behind Gallop Moran. And I thought the value was definitely Ronald Pump. I thought he was the only one that was in the race with Honeysuckle at Fairy House on a strict line through Abracadabra. And Buzz, yeah, Ronald Pump probably has the upper edge in that little bit of form. Even you go back to last year, he fell behind Sire de Burley in the Liz Mullen before running Honeysuckle to a half a length in the Hatton's Grace. He then obviously went missing or got injured or had some sort of a setback because he didn't reappear until he was third behind Classical Dream at the Punchestown Festival. He then went to France and was disappointing. But I still think there's a big day in Ronald Pump and I'd be with him.
Frank Hickey?
I look at the pump differently to Ruby. Well, for me, Ronald Pump is one of those pick-up pieces horses. Hmm. He just picks up pieces and there's always something better than him. But if others run below form, then he gets seconds and thirds, etc. But I don't think Ruby Walsh will be pumping with Ronald at the weekend.
Okay. Frank Hickey.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I think he wasn't ridden out the back to pick up the pieces. He gave it to Honeysuckle. Look, he wasn't good enough, but there probably isn't any horse good enough to give it to Honeysuckle and beat her. Simple as that. He beat the rest easily. Looking at the race, I actually don't think Buzz should be favoured myself. That's the way I look at it. I'm not working tomorrow, so I won't have any impact on the price. But looking at it, yes, he's improving. He was second in the Aintree Hurdle. He won a Cesarewitch. He's won the Carl Hurdle with the third Garda Dreams Frank in the form. It does stack up a bit, but he's never run 3 miles over hurdles either. The fact he won Cesarewitch says he should stay 3 miles, but until he does it, 2-1, I think it's very skinny myself. I'd be a little bit bigger now than that when if I was pricing it tomorrow. Champ is obviously interesting going back over hurdles. Jumping fence has been a massive issue for him. But you have to remember, he did win an RSA, beating Nalindo, a Gold Cup winner, an Alaho, a Ryanair winner. So he has the engine. Maybe he could bounce back, but at the same time, you'd be taking a bit on trust. Time Hill, in my opinion, should be favoured. Yes, he was disappointing in France. There's plenty of horses gone to France and underperformed. You look at last year, probably unlucky not to be 3 from 3 over hurdles last season. He was nailed on the line with Paisley Park in this last year. He won at Newbury prior to that, and he won it at Aintree in the Liverpool Hurdle. But for me, I'm with Ruby here. Ronald Pump is definitely the each-way play. Look, he hasn't won in 2 years, and he does, you know, run into one Honeysuckle twice in the Hatton's Grace. I thought it was a massive effort the last time. He really did go to give her a race. And look, he was beaten 8 lengths, but I think that's a very fair effort. Stepping up to 3 miles is going to suit. When you look back, he was like, to some of the form he has in the last 2 years since he won, he was second in Leopardstown Pretenders Qualifier off 145. He was second in Stairs Hurdle to Listenagar Oscar. He second in 2 Hatton's Grace Hurdles. Even his third at Punchestown behind Classical Dream. Classical Dream is a horse to just blow this division wide open if he's fitting well and healthy for the season. To me, he's the each way play, definitely.
Frank and Ruby are pumping. Matt Chapman's buzzing.
Frank, Patrick, Fre- Craig did the classic thing there that a lot of us done, we've all done in our time. We've all come on to take a favourite on and take it on. And then he's reeled out the form. And as he's reeling out the form, he's thinking to himself, what I'm about to say is now going to sound a bit silly.
No, the form, gone, the form is right. It's about price. It's about price, Pat. It's nothing to do. His form is working out, but his price to me is too short at 2-1. And I'd be surprised if he doesn't drift a little from that. If you back him, I wouldn't be backing him before at least tomorrow evening. I think he'll get bigger than 2-1.
Okay, it's a price argument rather than a talent argument. I like it, lads. Bit of needle today. There's a bit of needle out there. Matt Chapman, you're about to go under the needle.
Can we not talk about needles before I go to the dentist?
Yeah, but the needles help. You don't feel anything. Right, the 3 o'clock at Ascot. This is a wide open handicap. 7-2 the field. Bellamy to Picton, the favourite for Venetia Williams. Grand Sancy for Paul Nicholls and Harry Cobden is 5-1 cloth cap. Cameron Waters from a couple of Hennessy's or Ladbrokes trophies. He's available currently at 7-1. It's also 7-1 Caribbean Boy, and Jerry's back. 8-1 the old boy. Regal Encore loves around here. 8-1 Phoenix Way. And Ansam and Tens Bar. Right, Matt, before you go under the needle, give us the winner at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I'll give you my other selections for Saturday. This was very simple for me. It was a ground factor. I thought there were big question marks about most of the field. I thought cloth cap showed a little bit more in the Ladbrokes Trophy last time at Newbury, and he will bounce off the ground from the front. I think at halfway, I have a lot of these in trouble. Then it's just a case of whether the little odd little problem he's had in the past still haunts him. But I thought he was a good H-way chance. 3:35, I'm going with Luttrell Lad for Philip Hobson, Tom O'Brien. This is a horse who's been gagging for a big field and a strong pace. Travels really well, doesn't always jump brilliantly, but has shown enough to win a race like this. And I think the way the race will be run will really suit Luttrell Lad. Haydock, 2:05. Bossman Fred, each way at a price for the Skeltons. Lorcan Williams on board. Stays further than this, has clearly had training problems, but I would hazard a guess will run through a few beaten horses at the end. And in the big Tommy Whittle handicap chase, not quite the race it once was. Sam's Adventure has recent form figures to its name amongst a couple of numbers of UUP, but he's actually a very well-handicapped horse on his Ida win in 2021. And if he comes back to that, he'll have a good chance for Brian Ellison and Henry Brooks. So a lot of each-way chances. My nap of the day, I hadn't decided actually before this podcast, but on the back of what Frank Hickey and Rupert said, my nap. 100% buzz.
It's helped you before, a bit of buzz. Enjoy the buzz of the needles going in there, man, as you sit down in the dentist chair. Best of luck. Enjoy. Thank you very much. We're going to kick on and get the lads' thoughts.
Good luck.
Best of luck. Right, let's go back to that 3 o'clock where we had, as I said, Bellamy to Picton and Grand Sancy. Bellamy to Picton, I should say, is the favourite. Frank, I'll go to you for this 3 o'clock.
Yeah, as I said, I've been off all week. I hadn't looked at any prices till this morning, and I was quite surprised at the price of Check It Out. He's only a 7-year-old who's improving nicely over fences. He won twice last season over 3 miles at Sutherland off a mark of 122 and at Ludlow off a mark of 129. He was second here in October in the London Gold Cup Handicap Chase off a mark of 132, beaten 6.5 lengths by Larry. He kind of chased, I think if you remember back to the race, Glenforce, that went really hard from the front, and he was kind of the one to lead the chase, him and Sojourn, I think. And Sojourn ended up getting pulled up just before two out, I think, because he was between two out and one out, because he was so knackered from running after Glenforce. But Check It Out seemed to be coming with a decent run and just got taken by Larry, jumping the second last, I think. Larry had been held up further back, given more of a quiet ride. I thought it was still a very fine effort to be second that day. He then went to the Beecher Chase with £4 out of the handicap. They claimed £3 off him with Jordan Ader, and he ran another cracker, finishing third, beating a fairway, I think it was about 16 lengths by Snow Leopard S. But it was a bit of a slog that day, and I thought he ran a cracker considering he was £4 out of the handicap. He's back on his mark of 132 that he was second at Ascot off a couple of runs back, and it's 11-1. I saw the price. He's a very fair each way bet.
You're off this week, Frank. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, so that mean I've dragged you on back to work, have I?
I just about managed to scrape myself away from my bustling social life.
Oh, it's going to get even worse, isn't it, over the next few weeks, the way things are going. Ruby, your thoughts on the 3 o'clock?
Didn't have a massively strong fancy PK, but I thought Caribbean Boy was interesting. Back down to a mark of 145. If you remember, that's a pound higher than the mark he was on when he beat Fiddler on the Roof in a novice chase last year at, or 2020 even, in Newbury. He was disappointing behind Midnight Shadow at Cheltenham on his last start, but I think 2 miles and five, Cheltenham just too sharp from 3 miles at Ascot, much longer run down the hill to Swinley Bottom over the first couple of fences, could see him get into a good rhythm, cheap pieces on for the first time, and I just thought he was an each way player.
Okay, yeah, I think he was double entered over the weekend, wasn't he? He had one of those graduation chases as an option, so yeah, interesting they've gone for this one. Yeah, interesting they've gone for this one. 335 is the Betfair Exchange Handicap Hurdle. It's one of the really good two-mile handicap hurdles that we see. You think of the Betfair one at Newbury, you think of these races, the Greatwood, and a lot of the horses from the Greatwood are back in this. No Ordinary Joe. Frank, you might remind me, I think he was a massive drifter, wasn't he? He was favored for the Greatwood for a long time, and the big drifter on the day, West Cork, who won the race, he's 9-2, No Ordinary Joe 4-1, 6-1, Sam Marie for Paul Nichols, Harry Cobden, 8-1, one more for the road, and Nutra Lad, 9-1, Benson, 12, Goshen, top weight, and dropped the anchor, and Metier. Was he a big drifter that day, No Ordinary Joe? I think he was.
He drifted a bit, all right. I can't remember exactly. Compound was the second string JP. That was very well backed from was 20s into, I don't know what, ESP 8 or something, was he, or 9? Look, it's very good race, I think. There must be a small bit of a worry that West Cork might bounce off the absence and the big run at Cheltenham. What was it, 4 weeks ago? Was it 5 weeks ago? There must be a small bit of
five. It's 4 weeks from one Cheltenham meeting to the next, and we're a week on from that.
Yeah, so five. Small worry there, maybe. Look, Nordy Joy thought ran a massive race considering how hard he pulled in the race, and he must be a big threat off £3 higher. Sam Reeve, I think £11 for a Santa win, potentially a bit harsh. And Goshen off 153 is interesting. But I'm actually with Matt here with Lutra Lad. I think he's been crying out for a strongly run handicap. Won two bumpers and was fourth in the Grade 2 entry bumper behind the likes of Nappers Hill and Stage Star. He beat a subsequent winner in hurdles debut at Worcester, was second at Compound in the Grade 2 Persian War Novices hurdle over 2 mile 3. Again, he pulled that day. And just think the trip probably stretched him a little bit. And as I said, Compound ran a fine race in the Grade 2, went fourth off a mark of 140. Last time out, Lutra Lad, again, pulled probably a little bit too much, but he was conceding £7 to JPR1 and I Am Maximus. He ended up getting beaten half length by JPR1. That one didn't do the form too much harm at Cheltenham last week when beaten on the line in a novice hurdle, beating a neck. And the third, I Am Maximus, came out and won at Newbury this week. So the form is relatively useful. I think a strong pace is what he needs. And if he settles, 135 as a mark is very workable for him. Philip Hobbs did win this with Stern Rubin in 2015, albeit he dead heated, but Jolly's cracked it. But Lutra Lad each way for me.
Your week's off are great crack, Frank. I can tell you. I can tell you from listening to you, the level of detail there. Ruby, your thoughts on the 335?
Yeah, look, obviously the Greatwood looks the key to the race with No Ordinary Joe and West Cork, but I'm going to go for another lad, and that's Llandinabo Lad.
I think you had it right the first time. I think it's Llandinabo or something. It's Welsh, isn't it? It's the double L is
Anyway, number 8, Tom Simmons trains at David Noonan, rides it. It runs in green colours. Celia and Michael Baker own it. So if you follow all that detail, you'll get the right horse. I thought he ran well at Bangor on his comeback run behind Hunter's Call. Hunter's Call we saw running really well last weekend in the international hurdle. Look, he trained off a little bit as a novice hurdler last year. Won in Bangor when he beat Manila Drama. He was second to My Drogo at Ascot. But I just thought Isabel Williams made a lot of use of him in Bangor. He's dropping back in trip. He'd be closer to the pace with the benefit of the run under his belt. I thought he was a big each-way price.
Lovely. Llandinabo Lad at 12-1. Okay, that's Ascot covered. We've got Haydock. Just that name, Llandinabo, think of Wales. If you're on Netflix at any stage, there's a documentary called Dark Horse. It's about Dream Alliance. Have you seen it, Ruby?
Yeah.
Ah, it is class. And I'm not talking about the one, the film where they got, what's her name, Toni Collette, but this is just a documentary where they actually talked to the bar staff and everything. They were some crack. They brought that horse up on an allotment. Unbelievable.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Let's look at Haydock. Less stream alliance chat, less more winners, please. The 205 is one of two races live on ITV. It is the handicap hurdle on the card. At the time of recording, our prizes are 4-1 the field, Stellar Magic for Philip Hobbs and Micheál Nolan, and McElduff for Ollie Murphy and David England. 8-1 Little Awkward, as well as 10-1 Solo Motion, Bossman Fred, Minella Charmer, and 12s and Big of the Rest. Ruby, I don't think I've let you had a go first yet, so off you go.
Yeah, and it would come to me, the only race probably I don't have an opinion on. I know Matt went for Bossman Fred, but I really didn't have an opinion on this handicap.
That's okay. There are some things that Ruby Walsh doesn't have an opinion on, folks, and the 205 at Haydock is one of them. Frank Hickey has an opinion on them.
Yep. It's a pity we don't have Paddy Power on. I believe he's involved in Bossman Fred, isn't he? He was, anyway. I assume he still is.
Send him a text there.
Yeah, we might send him a text.
You talk at the usual length you do about a race, and I'll send him a text.
Yeah, there. So this lad was a very useful novice hurdler. He beat all of the gin giants at Kempton over 2 mile 5 in his hurdles debut, beat Springfield Fox by 12 lengths, giving him £7 at Southall. And over 3 miles in soft ground. Springfield Fox had a peak rating of 142 last season over fences. He's regressed a bit since then. Bossman Fred then made his handicap debut at Doncaster over 3 miles off a mark of 124. Absolutely destroyed Snow Leopard S that day by, I think, 9 lengths. She was running off a mark of 127. She won the Beecher a couple of weeks ago off a mark of 140. Bossman Fred then disappointed in the River Don when he went off favourite. And he was off then until last October when he made his chasing debut at Toxeter when he was third behind Hurricane Harvey and Emma Tom. He's been off a year again since. He's obviously had issues, but we know how good Dan Skelton is at getting these horses ready off a break. He's running here off a mark of 132. He's only a 7-year-old, so it's not like he's over the hill or anything. This trip is a small bit of a worry. He probably wants further, but off that mark and with the ground testing, it should still be a bit of a test of stamina. I'll take a chance at him at that 10-1. I think it's potentially very fair, and hopefully Paddy will give us a thumbs up as well.
Yeah, he had to reply, but then again, you know, he's a busy man apparently. 240 at Haydock because Tommy Whittle. This is one of the good handicap chases over the course of the season. 7-2 remastered. He was running well, wasn't he, in the Ladbrokes Trophy when last seen. He's 7-2. 11-2 Calypso Calange fell, of course. Calypso Clange is 11-2 from 8-1. There's been money for that. 10-1 Vintage Clouds, the old boy, Chatham winner. 10-1 Sam's Adventure and Buzz de Kernigig. I've absolutely made a balls of that one. Buzz de Turgoing. On Guard is also 10-1 as his Fuji Fly, 12-1 and Bigger the Rest. Ruby, you have to have an opinion on this. Come on.
Yeah, I do. Look, I fell for Enrillo last week after watching him fall in the Ladbrokes Trophy and he obviously didn't collect at Cheltenham. Remastered was going really well when he fell 4 out, I think it was, at Newbury. Galloped on a bit with Fergus Gillard and turned over, but he did look like he was going to be a massive player. That's 3 weeks ago. If he's over that, he's without doubt the one to beat. There's no doubt about it. But I went for one with a bit of value, and that was a horse having his first run for Christian Williams, Mr. Hendricks, formerly with Jessica Harrington. Beat Lord Royal in a big dog in a beginner's chase at Navan last year. He's like the weather, though. I mean, 4p, 1pp, he's very in and out. But on a going day, new yard, change of scenery, might be the day to catch him.
Thank you, Tommy Whittle.
I just think you can't. I get what Ruby's saying about the fall. I think it was too far out to know how Enrillo was going. But I know people say you couldn't tell if Remaster would have won or not. He'd have won. I'm convinced he would have won just watching it. When you look at he's ranging up to the horse that eventually wins, and he's going much better. Like, the concern on the day was the ground, because all his form is in testing ground, and it was, you know, good ground at Newbury, effectively good to soft, and he went through the race like the best horse, and it wasn't even that bad of a jump, but it was a nasty enough fall at the same time. He kind of went over in his neck, so you're hoping he'll be over that. If he is, I just can't see how he gets beaten off this mark, considering conditions are actually going to be in his favour here. He wants testing ground, and he did look like a graded horse at Newbury that day. It surprised me that he was able to travel like that on good ground, and he's obviously a better horse than I thought. And look, there are plenty of dangers in here, but yeah, if he runs anywhere near that sort of form, I can't see him beating. And I'd normally be trying to take on favourites like this in handicap chase, but no.
It's not your stick. Not your stick at all.
David Pipes had two winners of this as well in the last 7 or 8 years. He won with Broadway Buffalo in 2014 and the Klondike in 2018. I think he'll make it 3 in 8 years.
Lovely. Thank you very much. That's ITV covered on Saturday, but there is a decent card at Navan on Saturday, including five declared for Willie Mullins and a nice big handicap hurdle. So let's spin through the races. We'll go with the races that Willie Mullins has got runners in. Deploy the Getaway Ruby carries famous colours, Sheedley Park, point-to-point winner. But 0-2 so far for Willie Mullins. Will Saturday be the day for Deploy the Getaway?
Yeah, he looked sort of home and hose, PK, at Goran Park in a maiden hurdle when he jammed on, missed the last, and Indigo Breeze nabbed him close to the line. He should have improved for that run. Obviously, you have Glenn Glass of Gordon Elliott's, Davy Russell riding in the Bechtel Stud colours, and Harry Alonso for Noel Mead as well. But Deploy the Getaway should have improved for his first run. And look, he's going to be up there on the pace all the way, and he could take a bit of passing.
Okay. In the maiden hurdle draw for 12:05, Hador, Rich Ritchie Silks, winning debut, but failed after a couple of subsequent attempts.
Yeah, and Paul has gone for Bell Metal in the Kenny Alexander colours. Two from two in bumpers, one at Navan and then one at Limerick, 2 4-year-old bumpers. Decent filly, jumps quite well at home. Hador was chucked in the deep end last year. All his runs were in graded hurdles behind Zanahir at Christmas and Calixias at the Dublin Racing Festival. He'll have to settle better than he did last year, but he has the hurdling experience compared to Bell Metal. Not sure that was an easy choice for Paul Townend, to tell you the truth.
Really? Okay. When you see a horse with two ones beside their name,
yeah, two four-year-old bumpers running against a horse that's running two graded hurdles. Yeah, it's probably not as straightforward as it looks.
Okay, fair enough. The 12:35 is another maiden hurdle, another interesting runner. Paul Townend didn't have to make a decision this one, I think. He's on board Manella Kakuna.
Yeah, who was disappointing at Cork, but will have improved for the run behind Humunderson. Was beaten only 2 3/4 by length at the finish. But I thought Journey With Me of Henry de Bromhead's looked really good when that won a bumper last March at Goran Park under Patrick Mullins, beat Galudon of Sam Curling's, and it won 13 lengths, and there were Galudon was a furlong in front of the third. So I'd say Journey With Me could be a fairish horse.
And last one I'm going to mention in the rated novice chase of 220. I think it's restricted to horses 140 or less, but I tell you, it's not a bad little race. CL Dinesh in the JP Silks.
Yeah, 140 is a pretty high enough rating, so you're going to get a decent enough contest. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Busselton has won his last couple, won at Cork and at Punchestown. I was really taken with CL Dinesh at Thurles when he beat Cross Hill. I thought he jumped really well, travelled strongly, a lot of jumping in Navan. It's 2.5 miles, but you know, both sides in Navan, there's just a line of fences, and I think watching CL Dinesh at Thurles, that'll really suit him. He looks a better horse over fences than he was over hurdles.
Of the quintet, sounds like you're most confident about Deploy the Getaway and CL Dinesh.
They'd be the two, yeah. They will be the two.
I'll put them together, a nice little Saturday double. Frank Hickey, there isn't a Saturday at Navan with a good jumps card that doesn't pass without a nice little 33-1 shot for us. Come on, Frank.
I've no 33-1 shot, but look, I think it's a good card at Navan. Yeah, Bell Metal's obviously very interesting. She could develop into a contender for the Mayor's Novice Hurdle potentially, but as Ruby's already said, Hador is no pushover. Like, he ran okay in his hurdles debut for Willie in the Grade 2, the Knight Frank Juvenile Hurdle, when he was third, beaten 7 lengths by Zanahir. Disappointed then in the Grade 1, the Dublin Racing Festival, but
he was too keen that day. He ran away, didn't he?
Pardon?
He ran away that day at the Dublin Racing Festival.
Yeah, he was tailed off anyway, wasn't he? I can't even remember exactly. But like, look, she's won a listed bumper by 12 lengths, the second, third and fourth of all won a race since, so it's useful. So it'd be interesting to see how that goes. If she beats him, like, she's definitely going to, you know, put herself in the frame for Cheltenham in March. Journey With Me is potentially one of the sort of the high horses for the season. It is a fair enough race without being absolutely brilliant. Mr. Saxo beat easily, won a Galway bumper and rules debut. We've been seeing some, you know, requests to put him into Cheltenham novice hurdle markets, which is interesting. Manila Kakuna, as Willie already, or as Ruby's already referenced, was beaten at Cork on hurdles debut when I think 130 on will improve. But and then you've got Fantasia Delaine, who finished behind the likes of Appreciate and a bumper, Vanilla in maiden hurdle. But Journey With Me was just so impressive. Won a point, won the same bumper that Bob Olinger won in Gorn. And Bob Andrew won this race last year, so you imagine he's going to be very warm order. And in the 110, the 2.5 mile handicap hurdle, I'm, you know, facing a cliff here, Volcano. I'm convinced he's going to win a handicap, and maybe I'm a bit blinded by just following him on the back of a poor run, well, middling run the last day. I thought there was a bit of promise on Cecil reappearance when six. I didn't think he was ridden too hard. he looked like an introduction to the season sort of ride. But blinkers go on here, and the drop down from 3 miles to 2.5 might suit. He was only 15-2 when he was unseated in the Martin Pipe just last March, and he was running there off a mark of 132, which is the UK mark, down to 126. He's run well at Navan before on testing ground. Like, surely he's better than that. And they have Cheltenham in March in mind, the handicap, and he's going to have to get up, you know, £8, £10 probably to be sure of getting a run before then. And Shane Fitzgerald takes off a handy five. He's well able. So I think he's very interesting. And can I give you a couple in England as well? Away from
fire ahead.
Ascot 140, just shy of 3 mile handicap hurdle. It's not what you think. Taking a bit of chance here. It's handicap, second handicap. Here off a mark of 109. If you go back to his bumper form, he was second to Jet Joy in a bumper at Fontwell, beating about 3 lengths, I think. That horse now rated 123. He was then second to World of Dreams at Fontwell, also conceding £3 to him. That World of Dreams is rated 120. He was third behind Annual Invictus and the McPeston at Lingfield on his hurdles debut. Annual Invictus is rated 136 over hurdles, 143 over fences. The McPeston's rated 126. You see where I'm going with this? He's here off a mark of 109. Look, his last two runs were pretty poor. He was beaten an absolute furlong by Annual Invictus again, and then really disappointed his handicap debut at Sandown. And as I said, I'm taking a chance, but I've no doubt he's better than 109 and he'd be a price. He's worth something small. And at Haydock, at the 11.50, the 2 mile handicap hurdle, green book for Venetia Williams. She's flying it still. Heavy ground in Haydock, absolutely ideal for her horses. This horse, very useful on the flat. Last seen on the flat there, finishing fourth in Goodwood over 2 miles, off a mark of 88, now rated 89 on the flat. Mickey's handicap hurdle debut here off 122. I thought he was a small bit unlucky to get beaten at Haydock here in a three runner race. The sort of steady pace, I know he went out in front, but it just didn't suit. I think, I think he's going to be a fair bit better than 122. So yeah, green book and 11.50. I think he did all the beating.
So that's green book, and it's not what you think in the 12.40 at Ascot, and green book in the 11 something at Haydock.
11.50 at Haydock. Yeah.
Ned Fox rides that green book. He's a £10 conditional jockey. I think he had a winner for Venetia Williams recently, though, in the last week. So
yeah, she's fine. So, yeah. So take £10 off, like, as in he's 1.22. He, even just, you know, looking at his flat rating, he's definitely capable of being in the 130s or maybe
lovely. 140s. Good man, Francis. Right, we have to get your naps. Buzz napped up by Matt Chapman, but both of you had winning naps last weekend, lads. Ruby, yours was even money. Well done. And Blazing Cal's done you a few favours now, right, to be fair. Whilst Frank, yours was 130.
Money at the time of recording, as you keep mentioning.
At the time of recording,
I do believe he was 11-8.
Very good, Ruby. That's exactly the price he was at the time of recording. Well done. Two winning naps, lads, last weekend. Well done. So go on. No pressure,
what
Frankie.
What was my nap last week?
It was 130. It was the mare and the name. I've forgotten. Wasn't it Manella, was it?
Beat Indefatigable.
No, yeah, beat Indefatigable.
Yes, Martello Sky.
Martello Sky.
Yeah, 130. What was she? She was about 11 to 2 when we tipped her up, wasn't she? Really tough.
At least.
Here, PK.
God, 11 to 1, I'd say.
Yeah, I'll get the producer to start actually taking these down.
By the way, I was having a conversation with someone earlier on, Frank, when you are back in work. Black Tears is quoted in the Mayor's Hurdle for the Cheltenham Festival.
Uh-oh.
She's retired, isn't she?
There now.
Frank Hickey, did you price that race up? Yeah, that's your responsibility. 100% yours. Ruby,
I remember the conversation last year, Jack Kennedy saying that he knew going out to Ryder was her last run ever. So
publicly slating Frank Hickey. Come on, Ruby.
No, I'm not. He's only marking his card. Like,
I know, it's better to know and take. Oh, she's out already. You must have said to someone, Ruby, is that an odds checker actually on site? It might just be an odds checker she's up, because sometimes they have stale.
Somebody mentioned it to me and I said I'd look into it.
More tears. She's gone.
She's definitely gone from our market, whether it's just that odds checker, but she's not on site.
Johnson and Johnson will be happy. No more tears. Right, let's get your naps of the weekend. Back-to-back winning naps, please. Frank Hickey.
I'll go with Green Book in the 11.50.
Oh, out early. This is a pre-lunchtime nap. I love it. This is a brunchtime nap for Frank Hickey.
Give you a few bob to spin up for the rest of the day.
Fantastic. Ruby Walsh, nap at the weekend.
Ciel de Neige.
Oh, Ciel de Neige. Very interesting. No prices at the time of recording, Ruby, so I'm going to take whatever price I want. what price do you think it'll be, Ruby? Go on. Get your trading hat on.
He'll nearly be favoured. I'd imagine himself in Busselton. I don't know. I wouldn't even know how to begin to start to price a race. but I'd imagine two of them in an eight-runner field.
Yeah,
I don't know. The maths of that, even PK, are beyond me. I'm going to make a stab, Frank. Tell me how wrong I'd be. 2-1-ish?
I haven't even looked at the race, so I'll just say, yeah, that sounds right.
I honestly wouldn't have a clue how you even go about
it. Well, when you have a 1-8 winning nap, Ruby, well done. Let's see how CL Dinesh gets on. Well done.
I won't.
Right, well done, lads. Winning naps last weekend. Let's hope for more of the same. Again, a reminder, well done to Harry Tulk for winning our free tickets. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Can we ask what the nice tweet was?
We can absolutely ask. I'd have no idea what it was, but Mark Walsh, I'm sure, could tell us. He could write it down on the chat here. But I'm sure it was something along the lines of, great to have Frank Hickey back on the pod. Great to have Frank Hickey back in the pod. Who's Frank Hickey? I think it's fed up of it. Great to have you back, Frank.
Maybe if you stop saying this is a Super Saturday, people...
I already did. I've taken that feedback on board. Well done to Harry. He's going to Cheltenham with us. Remember, email fthm@paddypower.com and put yourself in the hat to be on the pod. You can quiz Ruby, Frank, Paddy Power. You can even talk to me. We can have a great chat about whether next Saturday is going to be a Super Saturday or not. Is it Christmas Day? I think it is. So it is going to be a genuine Super Saturday with no sport, unfortunately. Let's watch the Ashes.
What day are we recording from the horse's mouth then?
Well, we're going to be doing that next week as well. Mark has told me what he tweeted. He said, MC Yeehaw, best tipster around. I am
taking no offense to that, because I know I'm not a great tipster, but I do feel a twinge of sympathy for Frank Hickey.
To be fair, for comedic value, he deserves the prize.
There was no mention of sarcasm. It's very hard to convey it in a tweet, isn't it? Harry, well done. Great tweet. MC Yeehaw, best tipster around, not just around, on this podcast too, apparently. Lads, we'll be back on Monday. We're going to have a Punters Panel. We'll release that early next week. Hopefully, we'll be landing in your Spotify and all that sort of stuff on Tuesday. And then we're going to have another look to the Christmas festivals later in the week. So a couple of podcasts for you to watch out for next week. Until then, have a great weekend. Enjoy what will be a good Saturday.
Mediocre.